are, guys. All right. Welcome to the 14th episode of Horribly Awkward. This is not your normal Horribly Awkward episode. This is the Star Wars Force Awakens episode of Horribly Awkward. The awkward part is I don't know anything about Star Wars, but I just saw the movie. I'm with two dudes right now, two lovers of the two romantic lovers.
They're
lovers of the Star Wars franchise, and they're gonna school me a little bit. This is all gonna be about Star Wars this week, guys. Christmas is coming up, but we're gonna put in this really super cool episode for everyone else, and we're going to break it down. We're going to spend about 5 or 10 minutes spoiler-free, and then we're going to go all in, everything on the table, spoilers. So if you're listening right now, you don't want to be spoiled, we will warn you ahead of time, and that will be like 5 or 10 minutes from now. So I just want to tell you guys that ahead of time. And I am joined with Ted Bracewell, Combat Kids, and Zombie Cash. You guys know him. What's up, Ted?
Yay!
There's no excitement, Ted. We're talking Star Wars.
Ooh! Yay!
Oh, Jesus. And we're with Giants fan Jay. Giants fan Mr. Jeremy Shepard. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you guys, he was on the Horrible Gamers last night. We recorded. It was actually a fun episode. And he's going to be back on Horribly Awkward for an official episode next month sometime.
Looking forward to it.
We might just do it right now. Here we go. So, let's get into it, you guys. Star Wars. Frickin' Star Wars. The Force Awakens. I'm going to tell you one thing ahead of time. I've only seen Return of the Jedi other than this movie. And I just went and seen this. And the whole time I was like, why the fuck am I not a Star Wars fan? The whole time I'm watching this movie. It was like beautifully shot. I love the characters. It was good, man. Spoiler free. What can you guys say?
I could say you're not a Star Wars fan because the last three Star Wars movies were not what this movie is. This movie it lives up to the first three, which everybody loves. But then the next three, the prequels that came out, were pretty badly made movies. I mean, they were obviously good special effects and all that, but they were poorly shot. They were poorly edited. They made no sense. The acting was bad. The writing was bad. The script was bad. So it would make sense that you maybe didn't become a Star Wars fan. But this new movie recaptures the what the first three were, which were all excellent, amazing, world-changing kind of movies. So I think that's why everybody loves it. Because, yeah, it really is like they made something the prequels failed to do. They made a Star Wars movie. You know, that's just kind of what the prequels failed. They weren't really Star Wars movies.
They did, and I saw it in 3D, guys. I went for the 10:30 show. It was sold out. The next one was 11. It was 3D. I'm like, I'll pay 3D. I sat in the front. I always sit down near the front, and it didn't work with 3D. So I moved all the way back up top to the second or third from the last row, and 3D works up there, which is incredible. It's not super. There was a lot of stuff that popped up at you. The BB-8 was amazing in 3D, but it does. It brought me something different. Now I'm gonna watch everything in 3D.
Yeah, well, the new 3D is all done with lasers. So before, everything was, you know, for me, 3D was hard to watch. Like Avengers gave me a migraine headache when I saw it the first time when I saw it in 3D. But now that they do it with lasers, it's, you know, when it's done in post, it's I can watch it all comfortably and enjoy it. But did you want me to talk about Star Wars?
Yeah, just a couple things just a couple of vague things that aren't spoiler for anybody. And like
I can keep it spoiler free.
Yeah, let's do that for like 5 minutes, and then we're just gonna go deep, balls deep, man.
So I'm one of those guys that actually enjoy the prequels. Now keep in mind, Episode 1. Was pretty terrible. I actually bought it back to back. I had bought it where I could watch the movie and then sit there and watch it again when it came out in the theaters. And the second time I fell asleep. So, you know, but I actually enjoyed Episode 2 and 3. I think the reason that in my opinion, that this movie is so good is it has such a rich, you know, area to pull from, whereas prequels, it's like you kind of know what happens, so they're having to tell stuff where it's sort of filling in the gaps, and that's kind of hard to do, whereas JJ is able to pull from all six movies and, you know, have something there. And I think that also because JJ Abrams is amazing. But as far as The Force Awakens goes, It was really well done. I mean, from beginning to end, I enjoyed it. You know, not such a fan of the ending. I won't say anything yet. But it was just so well made, so well acted. Big, huge things that happen in this movie, and the action's intense. And like, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be that. Even if you've never seen a Star Wars movie, you can sit there and enjoy this movie.
Yep, I did. That's exactly what I did. I mean,
yeah. That's what I was saying. I mean, you only saw Return of the Jedi, but I'm like, you've seen enough, even that. Even if you've not even seen Return of the Jedi, you could watch this movie and still enjoy it because, you know, it's incredible. They did a great job casting, and it just the end product is thoroughly enjoyable, and I hope to see it more than three times in the theater.
More than three times.
Yeah, I might go again just to get that limited edition poster. If you go to AMC IMAX on a Sunday, they have this like badass limited edition poster I kind
of
want.
When I just got out of the theater right now, they had guys dressed up like stormtroopers in the theater. You could take pictures with them. They were standing in front of these craft. Like, they were pretty good. It was actually pretty awesome. When they talked, their voice was kind of like, you know,
Robotic.
It had like
synth.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I was by myself. I went and saw this by myself, so I didn't want to go take pictures with these guys, but.
There's a certain actor actually that was in this movie that they announced that it has a role in it, and again, when we get deeper in there, I'll bring it up. But you can't tell that he's there. So
really?
Yeah, I know.
That's
I'm
just trying to be vague.
Okay, guys. So before we gotta get into the spoilers. I'm pretty sure if someone's listening, they've already probably watched it. So what I'm going to say before we get it, drop everything on the table is I love this movie like a lot. I wanted to be a Star Wars fan when I was in there. I was tired. I was recovering from a hangover from last night, and I still love this movie. And Daisy Ridley, man, that's my new love. Okay.
Yeah.
Move over Laura Croft. Like she is so fucking amazing in this movie. When she's sad, you're sad. When she's happy, you're happy. When she's having fun, you're having fun. Like, she every time she's on the screen, she demands. Oh, well, she doesn't demand, but she gets all of my attention. Like, she pumps on the screen, and then she made the movie for me. I don't know about you guys, but she made the movie for me.
I watched
her watching. She is awesome. You know. They with her and Finn, those two especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just really, like, I wasn't sure what to make of either of them, but when you actually watch the movie, Finn is hilarious, some of the lines he has.
Yeah.
You legitimately like him, and she's just a total flying the Millennium Falcon, swinging a lightsaber around. She's She's about the most badass female character that's been in any movie in a while.
So
she might have passed Furiosa as the most badass character of 2015.
Furiosa was a badass too. I loved her. So you guys, do you guys recommend this or not?
Oh yeah, a million times over.
Why are you listening to this podcast? Go see it now and then pause it and then come back and then listen to it again.
Yeah, do that because I've already got your numbers. If you got this far, I already got your number. I already got the numbers on my listens. So I mean, it's okay. You can come back. You can do that. You can pause and come back. So I'm gonna say, from a guy who's never been a Star Wars fan till right now, I mean, it's as close to, I can't give it I'm gonna give it pretty damn close to like a 10 out of 10. It was, for me, my experience in the theater being tired, I had such a fun time that I almost want to go back in the theater and see this again. So I recommend it. So great.
Yeah, it
was my second time. Yeah, so I definitely, and I, you know me, I'm like one of the biggest Star Wars fans you'll ever meet. So,
yeah, Tedekin.
Yeah, Tedekin. Aunt Tedekin's Anakin with Ted stuck in it. And, and I'll tell you what, I saw it opening night, Thursday night, and I was a little underwhelmed. And I don't know if it was the hype or I don't know if it was the, I think my head was just spinning with so much, like, I can't believe I'm watching a new Star Wars movie. Like, my head was spinning, and I walked into the theater and I just was like, I actually sat there and I couldn't even remember certain things that happened. And I was like, good Lord, I can't even get my head around everything I just saw. So I went back today, you know, very clear minded and just really just watched the movie. And I liked it. I liked it way more today than I did 3 days ago.
You were on a drug, man. You were on that Star Wars drug, man.
I was on the Star Wars high where I was like, I felt like I was in a dream state. It's like, I can't believe that I'm watching Star Wars. And when I walk into the theater, it's like waking from a dream and you can't quite remember what you dreamed. You remember little bits of it. I really sat there. I was like, did Kylo Ren die at the end? I don't even know. I can't remember. I mean, that's how bad it was. And I was like, I need to see it again. And I want to see it this weekend to be part of the opening weekend hype and have the big crowd. So I rushed out again today and saw it again.
And that was not a spoiler, Kylo.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But I actually watched Daisy Ridley watching the trailer for the first time, because you keep in mind these actors, when they're in this movie, they don't really know how big it is, what's going on, you know. And she watched it, and she was getting emotional, and I'm like watching it, and my wife's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you crying? Like, I don't understand. It's just like, I'm watching her watch it, and I'm like, I'm getting emotional. And like, just because, you know, she wears her heart on her sleeve. You just look at her face, the way she acts, and it's like you feel everything she's feeling, and that's amazing.
It is.
You guys ready to get into the spoilers?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Come
on. All right, guys. If you guys are listening and you haven't watched this movie for some reason, turn it off now. Come back later if you have to.
The biggest opening in cinematic history. Go out and see it tonight. Be part of history. Go see it this weekend.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Okay. Here we go, you guys. Spoilers. So I'm giving you time. You're fucked if you didn't turn it off. Okay. You guys need to teach me, like, what I missed. Because, the movie starts... How does the movie start off? I'm trying to remember.
Starts off with Max von Sydow is, for some reason, has a piece of the map that reveals the location of Luke Skywalker. And the Resistance and the First Order both want the map because they're both looking for Luke Skywalker.
That's the older dude, right? In the camp?
Yeah, the older dude.
Okay.
Which it turns out to just be a piece of the map.
It's just a piece of the map. They need the full map. And the reason is because, as it says, that after Return of the Jedi happened, you know, the Empire was decimated. And from the ashes of the Empire, the First Order was formed, which is they kind of, I guess, pulled themselves back together to try to come back. And the Republic ended up taking over the galaxy, you know, the group that ruled in the prequels, and then were replaced by the Empire. They returned and ruled, and they have formed a resistance, basically an army resistance to make sure the First Order does not rise to power. And Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker's gone missing, so Princess Leia wants the map in order to find Luke to get her to help the resistance, and the First Order wants the map because Luke is the last Jedi, and he's their biggest threat, and they want to basically find him and kill him.
And he went into hiding because after training Ben, which is Han Solo and Leia's kid, and what happened, which, you know, when Leia, I guess, gave him to Luke to train, already kind of knew that he was heading towards the dark side, but after the results, he went into hiding after that because he was kind of afraid. And a big idea I have is that Rey is Luke's daughter.
Yeah. And so Luke went into hiding because he wanted to start the Jedi Order again, I guess, and it all blew up in his face. And Ben Solo, Han's son, went dark side and killed some people, it looks like. And something that's implied in the film, and it's not spelled out, that they will touch on in episode 8, is Rey was dumped on the desert planet, like sort of thrown into hiding, kind of the same way Luke was when he was a baby. And I'm going to predict that she's in some way obviously connected to Luke Skywalker, that when Ben Solo went nuts and killed everybody, Luke dumped her on Jakku to hide. And that's why she knows the Force, because she's Luke's daughter, or she's already been trained a bit. She doesn't remember anything.
These are the things that you're thinking are possible, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Like her mind is, it's almost like her mind has been wiped. Maybe she doesn't remember, but it did seem to me like Kylo Ren knew who she was.
Yeah. Well, he read into it. Like when he was, you know, doing the Force and he was reading in on her, he said, I see the ocean. I see an ocean. And, you know, and that, like, the ocean where Luke is.
Luke was,
and,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. He sees the island.
Yeah, and then you see her, like, with her hand in, like, a desert planet as like, a little child being left. And then that's where you kind of, like, put the pieces together that's what indeed happened.
And she told BBA, like, I'm waiting for my family. They left me here, but they'll be back.
They'll be back someday.
She also the thing was she said also, what the fuck was it? Oh, they tell Kylo Ren right at the beginning of the movie that BB-8 it ran off with a girl. The BB-8 and Finn ran off with a girl. He's like, a girl, and he seems all like, he suspects who that is. So yeah, there's definitely a thing where I think Kylo Ren is well aware of who Rey is.
You know what, dude? Daisy Ridley, man, she was fucking amazing in this movie, man. Seriously, like, I was in love with her character. Everything she did, my attention was on her. Like, she stole the screen. No matter what was going on, if she was in the screen, she's kind of what I was focused on.
She's Han Solo.
Not because she was, like, a pretty chick. She's very pretty.
Yeah.
She's very a pretty girl, but... Her attitude was great. Her attitude was super strong. She was a strong female character.
She's Han Solo and Luke combined.
Okay, so
yeah, they basically took the best aspects of every Star Wars character,
yes,
and jammed them together into this perfect hybrid character. And you know what I'm saying?
If you notice, like, Han Solo is like, you know, it was basically the same thing where, like, in A New Hope, where Luke, like, kind of gets a few lucky shots, and he's like, "Don't get cocky, kid." And it was the same kind of thing where Han Solo clearly liked Rey, but at the same time was like, well, don't get cocky. And it was very similar, the dichotomy between the two, until, of course, the demise.
Okay, so back to the beginning. The older dude, what's his name?
Han Solo?
No, the older guy who has the piece.
Ask
they never really say his name. He's just Max von Sydow, the actor. They never really say what the character's name is.
Okay, he's never really shown up in the other movies that I remember, at least.
Okay, no, so Max von Sydow, no. He's just,
I think he's just an older guy.
Is there's 30 years of time missing that a lot of things happen that we do not know about that they really need to explain a little more in the future movies. Like, how did Max von Sydow get this map? Things like that. Things like what's her name, Maz, whatever, the little Maz. CGI girl. Yeah, how the hell does she have Luke's lightsaber?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, but he gives the piece of the map to that
Poe Dameron. Fuck
Poe,
yes.
Dameron, yeah.
That dude was awesome. Oh. Like, I love that character, that dude, like, right off the bat. Do I know him from anything else? I'm not sure.
Well, the actor, you mean?
The actor. Hmm. Like, he just seemed like a super cool dude, man. This movie was filled with great characters. Characters that you love right off the bat. And then till the end, you love them. It's just like, they're just great characters. But he gives him the map piece and he puts it in BB-8. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which BB-8's hilarious without even saying a damn word.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you real quick. What's the cybernetic movie? Oh, God. Okay, never mind. I'll pull it up.
You're ruining it. Ruining my show. I'm just kidding.
Ex Machina. Ex Machina.
Oh, I love
that. That's where you know Poe Dameron from.
He's the guy who made the check.
He's the rich guy.
Fuck,
that's
yeah,
who he
dude.
Is.
Ex Machina was one of my favorite movies.
Right? So, anyway. Sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
Back to the story. Okay, so he gives it to BB-8, and then he puts him in the ship, pulls him by his little BB-8 head. Pulls him up. Like, BB-8's fucking incredible. From seeing the little toys and shit, when I saw the movie, I didn't know he was so big. I had no idea. I've only seen one trailer of this movie. I didn't know he was such a big thing, man. But my BB-8's like the shit, man. I want a BB-8 microphone.
I've got a BB-8 remote control little, like, toy you drive around with your smartphone. I have that.
Sphero. Yeah, each of my kids have one. They were driving them in my room last night. Yeah. They both have one.
What do you guys think of BB-8, though? Did he live up to the hype? I think he did.
Yeah, I think he did. He was fun.
Totally. I would put the thumbs up with the lighter.
Yeah, that was funny. There was a lot of fun.
Now that he was not annoying, he was as... This movie did something that the prequels failed to do. It showed restraint.
Right.
If you know what I'm talking about. Like, there was a few things that we can go into that I didn't like, but... It's like they could have shoved BB-8 down your throat. They didn't do it. They gave you just enough BB-8 to where you liked BB-8, and you maybe would have wanted more. But they kind of did that with everybody.
They did. They didn't pull a Claptrap in Borderlands where you like him and then he just like won't shut up and you're like, I hate Claptrap.
Or Jar Jar where you didn't like him immediately and then they just shove him in your face the whole movie.
I don't know about Jar Jar yet.
That's episode one, The Phantom Menace.
You haven't seen episode yet. You've only seen two of these movies, right?
I think I've only seen Return of the Jedi, if I break it down. I really only think I've seen one.
So you've seen the last two in the series. You've not seen...
yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
So, let's go through the story a little bit. If you guys can follow, I'm pretty sure Ted knows a little more since he just watched it for the second time. But they take off. They take off in with the piece of the puzzle in BB-8. And then they what happens from that point? Okay, they take off the planet.
Well, they take off, but the first order under the order of the new order, what is it called? The first order.
The first order.
Under the order of Kylo Ren, after they get down to the town to try to find BB-8 with the map and they fail to do so, they just murder everybody in the town, like Nazi style. They just kill everybody.
Yeah. Oh, you know what though? On that scene where he goes to blast Kylo Ren with the laser, and Kylo Ren stops the laser in midair, you just see it floating there. In 3D, that was amazing because they kind of turned around and you just see this floating laser beam. Oh, that was fucking badass, dude. Kylo Ren was dope. He looked dope. His all black. Like, I mean, Adam Driver? Is that
Adam Driver? Hell yeah.
I've seen him in other movies, and he's a very likable character. I think all these characters, Daisy, him, Adam Driver, and Daisy Ridley, you're going to start seeing them in a lot of movies. I promise you, they're going to like be all over the place now. People are going to snag them up.
I just want to speak out on Kylo real quick.
Oh, Kylo.
Because Kylo. I've heard people talking about, specific to my wife, and I've even heard a guy at Target that hated the last movie just because of Kylo. And it was because they said he was a bitch. And in my opinion, I think you were if you have that take, you're not seeing what it is. And what it is is he's torn. He's ripped between light and the dark, and he wants to go back. I think that torment he truly felt before what happens to Han. And I know I'm being vague. I mean, I guess we could just say it. Look, Han Solo dies. Okay, Han Solo dies, and Kylo kills him, aka Ben Solo. But I think he was tormented. I think he has a hard time deciding. I think he's, you know, he's very much the Darth Vader character. Although, you know, in the Star Wars, he's pretty much dark until he kind of like, but he's always a little tormented. But you don't actually see him. You see his motion. And in my opinion, I thought the performance by Adam Driver and how he's so tormented, it was one of the best things about that movie. I still thoroughly enjoy Kylo Ren. Yeah, all right, he goes up against Rey and, you know, pretty much just gets his ass handed to him. But, you know, the light is better than the dark. That's the way the Star Wars movies is. And they also
plot, Kylo Ren's in training. He's not like a Darth Vader master. He's kind of a Sith apprentice as well.
Exactly, because they talk about finishing the training.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I mean...
And I liked his fits and how he was like, I thought he was probably one of the deepest characters that's ever been in Star Wars ever.
Yeah.
How he was this imposing, scary, you know, like Darth Vader guy, but then behind closed doors, he was like a... Yeah, he was completely, had no confidence, was like a little bitch. And I thought that was a cool dynamic, how like when the girl tells him, like, you'll never be as powerful as Darth Vader, and he's like, like, he looks like he's about to cry, you know? And then
because he truly is an amazing actor. If you've watched Girls, and which I've seen every episode, he's one of the best parts of that. And because of just when he's acting, and he just portrays stuff without even having to say it. He's tormented in Girls. He's tormented in this movie. And the casting there is just amazing because he's big. You know, he's you know, sort of, when he comes on screen, you feel it. But at the same time, he seems like scared. And he portrays that very well. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, with this helmet off, he seems like a dude, a normal dude. We kind
he's
of
like a,
yeah,
he's like a pretty boy. He takes his mask off. He's actually kind of this beautiful, like, he's not what you'd expect. Life. Like, you expect this horrible, scarred up monstrosity, and he takes it off, and he really is this like GQ model, like baby faced, like dude.
Yeah, exactly. But when he has that helmet on with the voice, like the voice box that he's got in there, it's just dark. It's evil. The way he delivers his lines were perfect. I mean, I loved them. Just.
Yeah. And I think of all the characters that, you know, the red lightsaber, dark side wielding characters. I mean, look at you have Darth Maul, you have Count Dooku, you've got Vader. They're all kind of one note characters. They're just, I'm just evil and I love it and this is it. And they're all very calm and collected. And this guy's a guy that's just very deep, tons of depth. And he's like, I don't know what to do and I have no confidence. And I kind of don't know if I want to be bad. I'm I'm angry, so I'm throwing a fit, and I'm going to trash my bedroom like a little baby.
Oh, yes, right. And I
just love that, because like, look how collected Darth Vader. Darth Vader never got mad about anything. He was just very calm and collective, and like Count Dooku. Who is cooler than Count Dooku? But then you look at this kid, and he's just like
he's Anakin. You know? Think about it. He's Anakin before he became Vader.
Yeah, and he's Anakin. If Anakin was a better actor with better lines,
here it comes. All right, shit.
Yeah, I mean, he really was. I mean, Adam Driver. That's
Adam
what Anakin
Driver
should have been.
I mean, he is better than Hayden Christensen, but Hayden Christensen still, in my opinion, delivered a good performance, and it still is, in my opinion, again, a good movie, a movie worth watching. And I thought he did the best he could with what he had.
I'm not besmirching the prequels. I actually enjoy the prequels, and I thought Episode 3 was a great movie.
Yes, yes, it is.
But I just feel like what they did with Adam Driver in this movie
better.
They could have. It was better than what they did with Hayden Christensen in Episode 3.
Okay, from an outsider's point of view, Adam Driver's character, Kylo Ren, to me it felt like, there was an emotional pull there. It felt like in his heart he was light side, like he wanted to be. In his heart he felt like he had to be good, but his mind wanted to be dark side so bad. It was like there was a spin there. Like he wanted it. I think he wants the dark side, but he feels the light side. If that makes sense. I don't know if you guys feel the same.
No, that's right. That's completely spot on. You picked it up, because that's what he's tormented with, is that his training and everything went dark side, but he feels that light. And I think in the end of, you know, when we're all said and done, and we've all seen all these movies, I think he'll ultimately will either, like, lead to his demise, or he will, you know, come to the light, because, you know, because of the fact that he comes from a lineage. I mean, he's Leia's son, you know.
And even references. I mean, there's one scene I didn't catch the first viewing. I'm going to call today, when he has Darth Vader's helmet and he's talking to it.
Grandpa.
He does say grandfather. He calls him grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought was kind of cool, but. I think, you know, the scene with Han Solo, what it was, is I think like the one thing kind of keeping him from going full dark side is he still had this love of his father, Han Solo, and that's why he was kind of like, I need you to help me, and then he killed him, because he basically is like, I need you to help me, you know, finish. Basically get over you.
Yeah.
And you're the one thing keeping me from going dark side, so if I kill you, I've fully gone over, and this torment will end. So I think that's the whole crux of the Darth Vader thing. I mean, the Han Solo thing is, he's like, I'll do anything you want me to do, son. He's like, okay, and then he kills him.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then he said thank you after he killed him, and I think he said it because
released him.
It released him from this torment he had.
Yeah, and that lightsaber.
Because his love of Han Solo was causing the torment. Well, now Han Solo's gone.
Yeah. So, and that lightsaber duel between Rey and Kylo in the forest, it was so amazing. I mean, there's so much emotion with Rey, Kylo, you know, thinking he's powerful, but then starting to lose ground. And when the but then Kylo eventually like knocks out the lightsaber and falls to the ground, and Kylo's sitting there trying to pull it from the snow. And it was the only time when I watched it in the theater on Thursday where it's like, when I was watching it, I'm like, yes! Like, when it flies past him and into her hand, it was like, that was just one of those scenes that, like, I could see that multiple times, and each time just had that same feeling, maybe not yelling out loud, but which
and
I did
crowd
in the theater.
Cheered today when that happened, and I thought, I heard some other people say this, and I thought it too, I thought that was going to be where the Luke reveal came in, that it was going to be, suddenly Luke was just there, and he pulled the saber from Kylo Ren and probably went in and just fucked up Kylo Ren.
And you know what? They did a fucking amazing job with that battle, because she has a lightsaber. She doesn't really know how to use it. She doesn't know how to swing it. You could totally see it, but she's dragging it through the snow. She's missing swings. She's hitting the snow. It was such a so well done, because you know she didn't come out as a badass, like, oh, this girl's a badass already, knows all of her moves. Man, they did it, like, so well. Like, you could just tell that she was struggling with staying in that fight. But, like, previous to that, when Finn is another character I really liked. I mean, that guy was was cool. He was torn between, like, he got...
FNN2187.
Yeah, that's it. What was
Sorry.
That?
Sorry.
Yeah, he had some crazy name. FN, whatever.
FNN2187, a.k.a. Finn. 2187 is the prison gate in A New Hope where Leia was being held.
Oh.
And J.J. Abrams did that on purpose.
Okay, did you know that, Ted?
I didn't know about the gate, but I knew he got his name from the FN. But,
Well, I mean, did you know that, though? Because I'm going to have... Because I thought you were the biggest Star Wars fan I knew, but I think we have a new one.
I don't know everything, but I thought it was interesting that Finn... You know, Finn tried to fight a couple of times in the saber, but ultimately Finn was not a Jedi, did not have... He was not Force-sensitive, so anybody can pick up a sword and swing it around, but it's... And he was able to do that, but he obviously kind of got his ass kicked, but Rey... Even though she didn't have much sword training, she had training with the staff. They clearly showed she knew how to fight with the staff, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so that's right.
You know, that's so that kind of can explain how... That can explain how she was able to use the saber a little bit better, but also just knowing... Being powerful with the Force, she just was able to predict and wield the saber better just from having more Force power.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but when Finn had it, he just swung it. He's like, he was more offensive than defensive at all. He was just swinging it like, he was just like, I'm going to get this motherfucker. And he got a couple of hits on him, which was
pretty cool. He did actually cut him one time, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Look, characters in this movie, man, I really fucking love. And why the hell have I not seen all the Star Wars? I don't know.
Well, what, dude, you got to go get, go pick up the you can go get the Blu-ray set of all six and watch them all. But I would say, if you could track down the unaltered versions of the first three,
you're not gonna be able to find that.
So if you can find them somewhere on the internet, like download them on the Pirate Bay or something, but watch the prequels and then watch the unaltered versions of the first three.
I'm gonna have to do that. I'm gonna have to do that. Get them all knocked out before that next thing comes out. Isn't there like a spinoff movie?
It's a whole year away. Rogue One comes out the same weekend a year from now.
Okay. So what? How about so on the planet when they're getting there? So there's Finn and Rey and BB-8, and they're like, "Oh, come on! They're like, quickly, let's go to the ship." It explodes, and they're like, "Oh, well, there's that hunk of junk." And it's on the Carillion,
freaking
Millennium Falcon. Oh my god!
See, I knew
that's a great moment.
I knew I recognized it when they first told. I was like, I recognize that. I didn't know if it was the same thing, but yeah. You know what, dude? Was it Jakku?
Jakku.
Whatever it is, that desert. That sandy planet, everything that was so beautiful. Everything on that was so beautiful. Like when sand was exploding, it just looked so realistic. And when they're trying to, like that, it was fucking fat, dude. I love stuff like that. If this wasn't even a Star Wars movie, I would love it, dude. I would love everything about it. Just Rey being a scavenger out there, you know, trying to look for stuff to trade him into this guy who gives her jack shit for it. And all of a sudden he gives her little quarter portions for a whole day's work. And then all of a sudden he wants to I'll give you 60 full portions for your little droid, your BB-8. And she's like, I want it. Like, she's got a pile of food there. And then she turns back and doesn't turn him in, which was another great moment. It was so good. Yeah, the practical effects in this movie were, like, incredible.
He was big on that. J.J. Abrams was big on the practical effects, which is the mistake that would happen with the prequels, where they went too heavy on the CGI. And that's
the thing I wanted to say, too, is I don't know. The one problem I have with the effects is I don't know why they needed to make Snoke CGI.
Oh,
because he stood out as kind of bad CGI compared to the Earth. Like the little girl with the little alien thing with the glasses, that looked totally fine to me. But I don't know why Snoke looked very fake, and I just don't know why they needed to make him CGI.
Well, he was a
they
hologram, just, though.
Yeah, they could have had a guy in a mask with, you know, his face burned up, and it would have been fine. Instead, they made him a...
At first, I was thinking it did look awkward, but then when I realized it was actually a hologram, I kind of like, okay, that's a hologram. That's why it looks CGI, because it's a hologram.
Yeah, completely agree.
Kind of.
That's why he's so huge. And I mean, because originally you're like, why the fuck is he talking to some gigantic weird head dude? And and then when it fades out and you're like, realize it's just a hologram, you're like,
the real Snoke is probably like 4 feet tall. When you're actually going to see Snoke, he's going to be some like little dwarf.
Yeah. That's what's, God. So
what do you think also about like, why would they make a Jakku basically just make the exact planet that Tatooine is and just call it Jakku just to be confusing? Why not just make it Tatooine again? Because it looked exactly the same as Tatooine.
But I mean, there's a tie-in with Battlefront with Jakku. That, you know, that's where the battle happened first. And like Tatooine, there was no AT-ATs, for instance, that are all over the planet. It's not Tatooine. You know, I think that's the whole reason that they went with that.
AT-AT is the big dog-looking robot thing, right?
Yeah, the walkers.
Yeah, but my point is, why create a whole new planet if it's going to look exactly like a planet that already exists? That you had Tatooine has been in like four of the previous films. And they just said, well, here's the exact same planet with the exact same everything, but we're just going to call it Jakku. But it looks identical to Tatooine in every possible way.
I guess that is confusing.
Just kind of nitpicky. I mean, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. But like, in my opinion, the only thing that that I can criticize is the end. Which I don't know if we want to skip that far ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll do that at the very end. Cause I got some. Just for being an outsider, one thing they could have done to make that whole thing a lot better, which would have been easily done. But so where do we go from here? I don't know. You guys are the Star Wars guys. You guys teach me. I don't know anything about Star Wars. I do know I really liked how she was just chilling, eating food, like hanging out in the desert right by the foot of the AT-AT, which was. It's cool to see shit like that. I mean,
which I think she was living in. She had kind of made that AT-AT into like her house, right?
Yeah, that was it, right? I think I missed that.
Yeah, I think she was living in it. Had like kind of converted it into a little Jakku condo.
One of the my favorite things is when they you know, they're on that space Star Destroyer or whatever, and they're trying to escape, and they get into a TIE fighter, and it doesn't automatically just fly away. That was one of the things that's a choice where that cable's hanging in there and they can't quite escape.
Oh, yeah, that was cool,
and,
man.
And that was just one of those choices where you're like, yes, you know, like it's just nice to see something that looks so clean and you're like, look, they're gonna go. And the next thing you know, they're just hanging there and then, you know, gave Finn a chance to start, you know, destroying a few things before he went out there. It was it's those little choices that they make that made this movie so great.
And what was the chick's name, the one who plays in Game of Thrones, Brienne of Tarth? You know, she played
Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma. I wish they would have shown her because she's a strong actress. Like, she's got.
I'm still hoping she fills in more because that's who my daughter was for Halloween.
Oh yeah, Captain Phasma was extremely hyped up and marketed, and then she's in the movie for like literally 45 seconds,
and she gets overruled and gives up all the info like nothing.
So that was a little little odd. I don't know. There's just a character thrown in to sell some toys.
Yeah, that's what it was. Because I've seen those toys, a lot of those toys, when I was at Walmart.
But I thought she was going to be this ass kicking like. Super soldier commando that you were going to just be very imposing and scared of, and then that's one of my biggest disappointments in the movie is Captain Phasma just being like, that's it, that's what
you wanted more.
And it wasn't like she was badass. You could say, well, she was in the movie for a very small period of time, but a badass, no, she was in there for a small period of time and just got completely easily bested by Han Solo and Finn, and then just sold out the entire New Order First Order. It was like, well, fuck it.
Well, I guess they're trying to say women can't be leaders. We're not saying that in Horribly Awkward, but I guess that's what
she is the first. You know what? She is the first woman of power in the entire Empire, and she immediately sold him out. So,
and she gets thrown into the garbage disposal.
Yeah, and that's amazing. What they said. I guess her fate was they threw her down the garbage chute.
Oh yeah, the way
which
Finn,
is a nod.
The way he smiled and said, like, yeah, we got one. We got a garbage disposal. Like, that was a fucking great moment. Okay, guys, but when they crash, like, when Finn gets ejected from the thing in the beginning and they crash on Jakku, and, like, he's over there looking at the little ship. What is that, a TIE fighter? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a TIE fighter.
And it just, like, starts sinking into the ground and then explodes with sand. I thought it was going to be, like, some big animal or something. Some big creature monster.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Like, they did set up that, I mean, she told BB-8, like, don't go that way because the sand will suck you in. Something like that.
I missed that.
Yeah, she said that to BB-8, but it is weird that, like, the TIE fighter went down, then there was that big explosion of sand, like a monster was going to rise up or something.
That's what I thought. That was a cool moment, though, but I thought something was going to come out, like...
Well, don't you think that was a tie to, like, Return of the Jedi, where, you know, Boba Fett gets thrown into the Sarlacc pit? Or is that... Am I saying the wrong thing? Don't you think it's a,
with the
yeah the pit yeah
that's I, what I was thinking
I thought that's what it was, and then it, when he pulls down the TIE fighter, he's like metal and he just spits it up, so you don't really ever have to see it because they never show a down view. They only show sand, so they show him sucking down, and then he takes down the TIE fighter and he's like puh and it spits it back up.
That was such a cool moment, man.
And Poe Dameron was like basically he was thrown from the explosion and ran off and just assumed that Finn was dead, and Finn assumed he was dead.
Well, he woke up. You said he woke up after the night, like the next morning or something, and he didn't see anybody. He couldn't find him, so he...
And his ship had sunk into the sand while he was unconscious.
Yeah.
As well, I guess.
So, for instance, I brought this up before we started doing spoilerific, is that when Rey was captured, she started to feel the Force, so she's like, hey, you know, I'm going to try this out.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, let me go, and then leave the door open.
Let me go. He's like, come over here. I'm paraphrasing.
Release the
clamps or whatever, and then open the gate and leave it open or something.
So he comes back and he goes, no, you know, I'm gonna tighten these, and then she tries it again, and then ultimately, like, he does it, and then he leaves his gun. That's Daniel Craig inside the Stormtrooper costume.
That was Daniel Craig
in a cameo where you don't even see his face. That was, in fact, Daniel Craig.
That was such a... Dude, there was so much comedy in this movie. It wasn't
it's really funny.
Yeah, it wasn't like slapstick comedy, but there was a lot of really funny moments that made me laugh, dude, out loud. Most of it was between them. I mean, Han Solo had some funny parts. And even, like, Harrison Ford, man, just... He carries that role so well. I mean, even though they killed him off, which I didn't think was going to happen, like... He played the role. Like 30 years later, this is him. He's an older dude. He's still wisecracking, and it was great, dude. And obviously Chewie didn't look a day older than he ever did. But
well, Wookiees live 500 years. If you know anything about Star Wars,
no,
so that's why
that.
Chewie looks no different, because Wookiee, you know, the average Wookiee lifespan is 500 years. There was some Han Solo lines that were really funny. I can't remember them sadly, but there was definitely some he said that. Like that, I definitely burst out laughing, and I'm sadly sitting here not being able to remember any of them.
Well, when he was tied, he was on that ship, and they had the three different capture the like the creatures captured. They're like, "Is there you've ran out of people to swindle?" Because he's caught between the death gang and the other gang, and he's like, "Well, whoops."
Yeah, basically Chewie said, and he's like, I'm gonna talk my way out of it like I normally do. Here he goes. Like, I'm a cocky son of a bitch. I got my talking skills. He's a fucking salesman. That's what he is.
Well, yeah, I like how Han Solo had basically gone back from he had been this big hero with the rebellion, and he basically has been like, "Eh, fuck it. This is not what I meant to do." And he went back to being just like a scumbag smuggler. That's where he ended up, right where he began. But they had the funny moments, like when Kylo Ren is trashing after Rey escapes. He's trashing the room, and you see the two stormtroopers walk around the corner, and they go, "Oh, he's having a fit." They turn and walk away.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, he's having another fit. Better leave.
Everybody's had those bosses where, like, they're, you know, he's in there talking to another employee and they're in trouble, and you turn around the corner like, okay, I'm walking away from this conversation. That's kind of what it felt like. Yeah, like, yeah, he is like a little kid. Like, I'm gonna throw a fucking fit. I don't give a damn. I'm gonna smash up this whole room, all the electronics.
And there was even those little subtle, like, Finn moments where he when Phasma was his boss, and she had kind of told him off at the beginning of the movie. And then when they capture her and have her sort of one-upped, he's like, yeah, he gets on her face, like, yeah, I'm the boss now. Like, he's totally, like, smack-talking her. And then the same with Rey. It's obvious that he likes Rey. And she keeps saying she wants to go back to Jakku. He's like, Why do you want to go back? Do you have a boyfriend? Is he cute?
Oh, yeah, a cute one? A cute boyfriend?
Is he a cute one? Like, she's trying to, like, prod about if she has a boyfriend. Little things like that were really funny.
Yeah, that's the first chick you got to hang out with. He's not a stormtrooper anymore, you know? He can live his life. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I believe even though they weren't together that much, like, you really, they did a good job where you really felt the relationship between Rey and Finn, that, like, even though they didn't have that many scenes throughout the whole film, I guess... I mean, if they didn't know each other that long of a time, but by the end of the movie, you really did feel like these two people really care about each other.
True, and they didn't do the Hollywood thing, was like they kiss at the end and make some big romantic love thing, and you're like, "Whoa, how did that happen so quick?" It was very subtle, and they showed like this is where it's gonna start, kind of. You get that feeling, but they didn't go overboard and show you like what's. Like, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, we're in space. We got no one else to love us, love each other.
That's very Star Wars, though. I mean, if you see, watch A New Hope, you know, Luke is infatuated with Leia, which at the time he doesn't know that that's his sister, and he really likes her a lot. And but at the same time, nothing really happens between them. And then Han kind of likes her, too. So, and that's, like, again, very Star Wars. But, you know, going into it, in my opinion, speaking of which, like the spoilers, because was it Matt White? he posted about the about knowing that Finn was a stormtrooper, and in my opinion, watching the trailers and going into it, I didn't really know that. Like, you haven't seen A New Hope, but going into it, Luke and Han take down stormtroopers, put on their costumes, and go to rescue Leia. So when I saw Finn, John Boyega, in a stormtrooper costume, I didn't think he was a stormtrooper. I thought he might have been some character wearing a stormtrooper costume and not actually a stormtrooper. So going into it, I didn't know that. And then once I found out that the grand reveal that he was a stormtrooper, that you know, being raised as a baby and being trained, and then once that hand hits his mask and the blood goes on it, and he's like, "Oh fuck, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah,
get me out of here! I don't want to do this. I don't want to be part of this.
Shit just got real. I don't want to kill nobody."
That's what was amazing. So good.
It was
like, I kind of assumed right away. I mean, my assumption with Finn always was that he was a stormtrooper who decided to go AWOL.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know why. Just like, even from the first trailer, I was like, I think he's a stormtrooper. I thought maybe the twist would be he finds out he's strong with the Force, and that's what pushes him. But I was like, I think he's a stormtrooper who goes AWOL, and he ends up out in the desert, and they start chasing him, pretty much what ended up happening. But then when that last trailer came out, you can really see all the pillaging going on, and him like looking really upset about it. And it's like, oh, I see. It's gonna be, he's gonna see like the Empire like just genocide a town, and be like, I'm not cool with this, you know. And basically, what happened?
Yeah, he was a really liked character, and I thought this movie was just filled with likable characters. And a lot of movies you watch, man, there's like a couple characters you like, and the rest of the characters are kind of like forgettable. I mean, was there any characters in this whole movie that was really forgettable besides the extras? I mean, I do like how they had Carrie Fisher's actual daughter in there. She had one half of a line.
Who was she?
She's the girl who plays in Scream Queens.
I mean, but who was she in this?
In the movie.
She was just there at the table when they were doing the stuff, and then she said one half of a line about... something about the thing's gonna blow up in 15 minutes or something. She was there in a couple scenes, though. I recognized her because I watched Scream Queens, and I knew she was in it, so I was waiting for her to say or do something, but she was just a very secondary character that was there,
right?
Which was kind of cool that she was on, you know, in Star Wars with her mom. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, even though she didn't say much.
Oh, I want to make a point to about the Republic is back in power, and there's spoiler obviously, but about halfway through the movie they fire up Starkiller Base and they blow a planet up, and it shows the planet was that Coruscant that they blew up. Was it? I mean you wouldn't know, Sean, because you haven't seen the prequels.
No, I love croissants though with butter.
Yeah, but Coruscant is the capital planet in the entire Republic, and that's like where the government is. And they said we're going to destroy the Republic and the Senate, and that looked exactly like Coruscant. They never said it was. Did they blow up Coruscant in this movie?
I mean, that might be it, but I think that was kind of a lot. I mean, yeah, they don't really say it. So
they never said it, but it sure looked like Coruscant.
Yeah.
They were blowing it up. I don't know.
J.J. Abrams did the Star Trek movies, right? The recent ones? Yeah.
The last two.
He's fucking knocking movies out. Like, I never cared for Star Trek either, I didn't watch that first Star Trek for years, just barely, like, last year or something, and end up watching both of them. Like, he knows how to handle his shit, man. He's going to be, like, the next big guy that everyone's going to remember. I guess he's already big.
I think he's there.
he's already there, but I'm saying he's going to be one of the greatest. I mean, he is going to be in one of the greatest. You know,
yeah. See, what the thing is too is that he's a Star Wars fan, like a uber crazy fan. Whereas Star Trek, he wasn't really a big fan of Star Trek, and for the longest time, he would always say that he didn't want to do Star Wars. He was too close to the source material. He didn't feel like he could live up to the hype, whatever. And then but everybody wanted him to do it.
Yeah, he did.
And when Disney got the rights and they actually managed to lock him up, it was like, fuck yeah, they got J.J. Abrams. Because, I mean, that's what you need. In order for a movie to be truly great, you need someone that cares about the source material enough to do those little things.
How long ago? Okay, I'm sorry, Jeremy. How long ago was it when he got? Because I remember when they announced J.J. Abrams is going to do Star Wars, and then shortly after that, they had the room where they were all sitting in a circle, all the actors, and then, like, these are the actors. Are, you know, how long ago was that? Was that like 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's been about 2 years.
There's been like 2 years of hype behind this. You guys, I'm going to be honest, though. I'm kind of fucking sick of seeing Star Wars everywhere I look and on every Facebook post. I understand it, but it's getting to the point where I'm like, oh, let it die. Now that I've seen the movie and everybody was waiting for me to see the movie, it can just end. You guys, we'll do this every year probably for the next 10 years.
Well, you know, episode 8 is only 18 months away. I mean, it's going to be out pretty damn fast.
Yeah.
You're going to have Rogue One in a year, and then episode 8 is 6 months after that, Memorial Day weekend. So you're going to get these Star Wars movies really quick.
I saw a countdown calendar when this movie launched. Like 524 days. And my wife was like, really? Like that soon? I'm like, yeah. It's like,
well, yeah, because you had to wait 3 years between the prequels. You're waiting like half the time. I mean, if you just go by the main movies, not even the spinoffs, it's only half the time. If you go by the, like, all the spinoffs, we're going to be getting a new Star Wars movie every 6 months on average. It's going to be ridiculous.
I'm so ready.
I don't know. Are you? Yeah, are you? It's going to be another Assassin's Creed where they just dump it out. You don't think you're going to
It's going to be like the Marvel universe where you get a new Marvel movie
every... Yeah, you're right. You're right. I guess you're right.
Yeah. And I'm not bitter about it. I mean, like, Avengers came out and then Age of Ultron came out and it's like, fuck, this is perfect.
Yeah, like, now then then Captain America 2, then Age of Ultron, then Ant-Man, and now, I mean, it's like...
But they're all good.
Yeah, now Civil War is coming out, and it's just...
Ant-Man was great.
Okay, so, let's see, we got it. We'll do it for like another 10 minutes. Okay, so, that planet where Maze or Maz was at, is that Endor? I don't know. All I know is there was a lot...
Yeah, they didn't really explain what planet that was. They just said we're going to go see her because she can... what was the reason they went to go see her? Something about, like, getting a clean ship?
Yeah.
Was that right?
And then a place to hide.
And they're just like, don't stare. Stare at what? Like, at all of it.
They never, like I said, something they're going to have to explain in the future movies is how this woman just randomly had Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. Because, and they make a reference where Han Solo's like, where did you get that? She's like, that's a story for another time. She says something like that.
But awesome.
You haven't seen episode 5, Sean. In episode 5, that lightsaber, that's the saber that Anakin Skywalker uses, that lightsaber through all of the prequels. And then he's defeated by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi takes the saber, gives it to Luke in episode 4. And then in episode 5, Vader cuts Luke's hand off and that lightsaber falls down a shaft in Cloud City. Like, it falls down a bottomless pit to never be seen again. And then in this movie, with no explanation, that woman just has it. Well, how did she get it?
That's going to be a cool story.
On Cloud City, somebody recovered that lightsaber, and 30 years later, it wound up in that box in her basement. So
I guess they're going to have to break into that story.
They're going to have to explain that. They can't just say, that's a story for another time. We're never explain. I want to hear how she got that lightsaber.
But I mean, that was another cool planet. Just seeing where these things were filmed, that was from the desert to the forest. I mean, it was all fucking amazing. It was so beautifully shot.
Yeah, the
man.
Desert, the forest, to the snow.
So beautiful, man. So after the fight. With Rey and Kylo Ren, blah, blah, blah. I forgot what happened. To be honest with you, what happened with Kylo Ren?
Kylo Ren was in the snow.
They fought on the snow, and Rey sliced his face open and had pretty much beaten him, but then, like, the ground opened up and...
Yeah, that's right. The ground split.
They got separated.
And so he was just there. So he'll be around for sure. And then she took off in the other direction.
Well, they talked about him being recovered and finishing his training.
Yeah, they never showed him get saved, but they said go get him, and then you assume he was rescued before the planet blew up.
Okay, yeah, that was fucking awesome, dude. This movie was so good. I wish I was a Star Wars fan. I knew I could see all these things.
But you say I wish I was. You know what?
I mean,
this
no,
the,
I mean,
this is, the, this is America. You can be a Star Wars fan if you
can
want
I?
To be.
Can I be? I mean, I just wish I was before I saw this. So when as I'm seeing it, I would know all these things. But
see, I'm a lifetime Star Wars fan. I mean, I have a video of me when I was 3 years old on Santa's lap asking for Star Wars shit.
Awesome, dude.
So I mean, I'm a lifelong Star Wars fan, and you know, I waited 30 years for this movie, like a lot of people did.
So after the combined forces of C-3PO, did he have the rest of the map? I was kind of confused there.
R2 did. R2.
And BB-8, I mean, R2. That's what I meant.
Yeah, and BB-8 kept coming to him, and like C-3PO is like, "I'm sorry." Like after Master Luke left, he's been just sitting there, and I doubt he'll wake up. And BB-8 kept coming to him, and then R2 like came out. And so he woke up.
Why did he wake up again?
I think it's because that Luke sensed the force. He sensed what happened. He sensed Leia's pain, and I think that he woke up R2. I think he wanted to be found. I think he wanted them to complete that and come find him. But still, at the same time, when Rey comes to find him, I think he's having a hard time. I mean, that's the whole idea. But again, this is my one nitpicky thing, is that I didn't much care for the fact that she goes to hand him his lightsaber back. And he's just sitting there looking at her, and then it just has the whole spinning shot, and nothing really happens. And like Fellowship of the Ring, that's the way the first Lord of the Rings ends, that same kind of way. I'm like, fuck! Like you couldn't have just kind of found, like he could have just took it in his hand, or he could
have him start to raise his hand to reach for it. I didn't like the spinny shot. A lot of people complained about that, and I agree. It should not have ended with that weird helicopter shot. You just have a close-up of his face, just sort of looking up, and some sort of look of like, okay, we got to do this. The spinny shot was not the shot it should have ended on. It should have ended on...
No, he should have turned his head. He should have turned his head, and you saw Mark Hamill, and then cut it. Credits. That would have been perfect.
Sick.
Yeah, and have him have a look on his face of like... Because we all know he's going to take the saber and kick ass in episode 8. Have him have an expression come over his face of like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. Then he kind of, his eyes narrow, and it's like, okay, let's do this. That kind of expression. And then you have the, and I agree. I fully agree with that.
He looked like a homeless man out there. He looked like
he had become Alec Guinness. That's what he'd become, like a crazy old bearded hermit. It.
Yeah, and that's a perfect dichotomy, is that Obi-Wan Kenobi or old Ben Kenobi goes into hiding because he's sort of, lamenting the fact that he created Darth Vader, and he was sad about it, and so he goes into hiding, and he doesn't want to be found. And it's the same thing with Luke. Like, after he creates Kylo Ren, and he's sad, and he goes into hiding because he doesn't want to deal with it, and he's like, you know what, I'm causing more bad than good. I don't want to deal with this. But ultimately, he comes out of, retirement, which makes me think, like, who's going to do the training for Rey? Because if you look at, like, old Ben Kenobi kind of, like, leads him to Yoda, and Yoda does the training. So that's where I think that I don't personally think Luke's going to finish the training for Rey. I think the girl with the big glasses is Yoda.
Yeah, she's kind of, she's definitely very Yoda-ish. And I think, too, Luke, maybe what happened to Luke's even worse than what happened to Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan just, it was his friend. But this was Luke's actual nephew. And Leia even said, like, I turned him over to Luke because I wanted his uncle to train him. So it's even worse because it's like his, it's like he failed his sister, he failed Han Solo, he failed the entire Jedi Order. I mean, yeah, he Luke just massively fucked up.
Who is Obi-Wan again? I don't even remember.
Obi-Wan, what the fuck? Who's Obi-Wan?
Well, he's only seen Return of the Jedi, so he's never even seen Obi-Wan.
Who is
he's seen Force Ghost Obi-Wan.
Well, that's true. I mean, but still, like, how would you even tie that together? You're like,
Obi-Wan Kenobi's the guy that trained Darth Vader. He trained Anakin Skywalker, and Anakin Skywalker went evil and turned into Darth Vader, and then Obi-Wan had to go try to fight him to stop him. Obi-Wan's the reason that Vader, he kicks the shit out of Vader, and that's the reason Vader had to wear the suit.
Yep, and then Leia in A New Hope, she's leaving a message for Obi-Wan. She goes, "Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope," if you've heard that before. And that was a message for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Luke's like, I don't know an Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I know an old Ben Kenobi. And it turns out it's the same guy. And, you know, he's kind of reluctant to talk to Luke about it because he knows what happened with Anakin. But instead, you know, decides to go ahead and teach him the ways of the Force and starts to teach him how to wield a lightsaber and stuff like that.
Ben Kenobi.
Yes.
And that's why, and that led to why Han Solo and Leia named their kid Ben Solo. I guess it was, they named it after Ben Kenobi.
That's what I was just going to say right now. I was putting that together. See all this stuff, man. This is all the cool shit that I missed. This is awesome.
Sean, go this week and ask Santa for the Star Wars Blu-ray box set. just sit down next weekend and just have a day. Have a day of Star Wars.
I got all kinds of movies to watch this week, man. I got The Revenant, Hateful Eight, Creed, all that stuff.
Creed's a great movie, by the way. I've seen it.
Have you seen The Ridiculous Six? I know this is sort of random. Sandler movie. Yeah.
Nope.
I fucking love that movie.
Oh, was it good?
It was really funny.
Okay, so I think we're done. I think we got anything else you guys want to add to this conversation before we split out?
I think I said about all I need to. I think if I had any complaint with the movie other than Captain Phasma having like no part and the ending could have been done a little better with Luke, I do think Star Killer Base was way too easy to blow up. Even though it was this big massive thing, it just was not nearly as imposing or built up as the Death Star was, or even the second Death Star. And the fact that they just blew that thing up like it was nothing.
That's what was so great about it. It was bigger than the Death Star. They show like the Death Star and then
they actually show a comparison chart. Yeah.
And it's the same thing where they're like, well, if you could just get a shot in there, it's the same thing. That's what was so cool about it. They took it out with just a simple thing. And that's what was so amazing about it, is that it was so much bigger. It's the same thing. They took it out.
And how Han Solo basically like actually does say like he's blown up so many of these Death Stars. To me, it's like Jurassic Park. It's like, oh, it didn't work in the first movie. Let's try it again in the second movie. Oh, it didn't work in the second movie. Hey, let's try it again in the fourth movie. Surely the third time it'll work. Oh, no, if the dinosaurs are running amok again. That's kind of what it's like Jurassic Park in space. Like they've tried this three times now, and it just keeps fucking up. And in this movie, Han Solo literally has a line that's basically like, they go, well, they're building it. It's basically a bigger Death Star, and did it. And Han Solo's like, okay, well, how do we blow this one up? It's like just kind of like common, like, okay, well, let's go blow it up.
Let's just figure it out.
I guess the question I have going into the next movies, pulling up my shirt like that, Han Solo, not Boba Fett. Sorry, I'm drunk. Who's the next Boba Fett? That's what I'm wondering. Like, who's the next Boba Fett?
Because I wonder if Phasma, they're saving Phasma to be cool.
I do think that she'll have a bigger role in this next movie. I really do. I don't think they just brought her out to just be, you know, like a punk and go out like that. I think she'll have a bigger role. But I feel like there's a Boba Fett character that will come out in this next movie because it's so fitting. Hello. Because Boba Fett came out in Empire, and I feel like that sort of character is coming, and I to this day sometimes wonder, did Boba Fett really die? And
I don't think he did. I think in the new Disney canon he officially did not die.
Maybe he died just as much as Glenn died.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead. They say that Darth Maul didn't die. That's the other thing. They say that Darth Maul didn't.
That's in the official new Disney canon as well, because the Clone Wars cartoon is canon. He returned in it.
Yeah, so if, in my opinion, if Boba Fett came in this next movie, like, I think I'll have to go to the bathroom afterwards, change my whole pants, because I will shit myself if Boba Fett shows up.
You mean the actual Boba Fett shows up next movie?
I can't even contain myself. Like, if that happened, like, even just the idea of it makes me excited. Because, it's part of the thing I really enjoy about Battlefront. But anyway, that's my whole thing. If that happened, holding out hope, then in the next one that happens. And my last thought is, if you haven't seen this movie, I don't care if you've not seen a Star Wars movie. Same with Star Trek. I wasn't a big Star Trek fan. I saw Star Trek. It was amazing. Yeah. Watch this movie. Yeah. Just watch it. Give it a shot.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
It's just 2 hours and 20 minutes long, but I tell you what, there's not a slow second in the whole movie.
There's no dull moments in this. It's just like the Battlefront game, man. There's never a moment where something fun's happening.
It is nonstop from the first frame to the last frame. Just
fan service and just a great movie. Whether you're a fan or not, you're going to enjoy this movie.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll vouch for that. I didn't know anything about Star Wars. I went into this and I was hyped just being in there. It was there was not a lot of people in the theater, which I liked, because when I go to the movies a lot by myself and I don't like to sit between two people I don't know. That makes me feel uncomfortable. And so I got to sit. I had my whole row to myself up there. So it was
sadly, I went today and I was next to people that did not shut the fuck up the entire movie.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
It's like, why are y'all talking nonstop the whole movie?
Dude, like,
you came to a movie to have a conversation. You have no consideration for everyone around you.
Terrible.
I it's one of my biggest pet peeves. I do not understand people that do that.
This is going to be a sad dad admitting thing, because like when I saw it for the first time, it was myself, my wife, and my two kids. And my wife's the buffer, and she knows that I can't even sit next to my own son and watch the movie because, you know, although he didn't really talk much. But anyway, she's next to me for that very reason, because she knows that I want to watch it. I want to experience it. I don't want to have to explain anything. I just want to feel it. Just let it wash over me like a bath.
Yeah, so you guys all heard it here. Jeremy's wife is the buffer.
I thought she was the fluffer.
Oh, shit. Well, sometimes.
All right, guys. So we're about to end this here. I appreciate you guys listening. Hopefully, you guys liked it. This is because of Christmas and everyone's schedule. I wasn't able to do it horribly awkward this week. This is the first week I've missed doing the show, but it's a sort of the show. And we'll be back soon. Maybe I'm not sure what's going on next week. We might be doing a dun 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 dun. There he is. What do you got? Some toys? Got some toys. Jeremy's got toys, guys.
Next week, I think I'm going to be doing a...
I'm not sure who's going to be doing with me, but I'm going to be doing like a New Year's type deal. Resolution fails. Resolution plans for 2016. But if I don't catch you guys, just have a safe New Year's. And don't drink too much and pass out somewhere and wake up naked with something strange in your behind. Or don't butt chug. I guess butt chugging is a big thing. Don't be butt chugging cough syrup. It's fucking strange. Ted, man, where can they find you?
Monday Zombie Cast. I will be on tomorrow. And Tedekin on Twitter and all over the interwebs.
Watch Combat Kids.
Yep, there you go. Combat Kids. Man, plug the shit out of it.
Watch Combat Kids, which for some reason has had some second wind. I don't know what the hell's going on, where it hit 350,000 views like a week ago, and then the next day I woke up and it gotten like – it was over 400, and I was like, well, you got 50,000 views in a day? What the fuck? And now it's up over 500.
Oh, shit.
So I don't exactly know what happened, but it suddenly has
a million views, Ted. That is fucking
incredible. And there's 400,000 more views in reaction videos. So I don't exactly know what happened, but it suddenly got this second wind. I don't know if somebody reported on it. Or if it got picked up on a story, but it is absolutely exploded in the last 3 years.
It was all me. I tweeted that shit out.
I mean, I'm talking like it went from it was getting like 6,000 views a day. Now it's getting like 40 or 50,000 a day.
Dude, you created something and you have a 500,000 views right now for something you created. It's not like it's not something you see on Facebook that's a 20-second clip. So you watch it six times because it's funny and they get super like, they have to be invested to watch a 25-minute cartoon.
Yeah, and I feel a lot of people say, like, I watched all 25 minutes of it, and it was worth every minute.
I just love how layered it was. It just kept growing, you know. It started off, and it just kept going on, and, like, and I grew up a big Mortal Kombat fan, but then recently I'm not so much, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, even if you're a passing Mortal Kombat fan, you will enjoy it. It's very well done. Just very impressive.
Like, you mean layering, how it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse?
worse in a good way, guys. It's going to be at a million, probably going to hit a million, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be celebration.
If the speed keeps going with this new boost it suddenly got, keeps going, I mean, it could pass 600,000 in just a few days.
That's amazing.
So I don't know what the hell's going on, but yeah, that'd be amazing.
Zombie Cast and Combat Kids, you guys go check those out. Go find Tedekin on everything, as he says he's this fucking Star Wars fan. Anakin is in his name. Jeremy, what's up, dude? Where can they find you?
Giants Fan J on Xbox Live, Giants Fan J on Twitter. That's who I am, and I am a San Francisco Giants fan, aka Giants Fan J. So.
Oh, really? You like the Giants?
I like the Giants.
I never knew. All right, guys. So typical. Outro for Horrible Gamers. Thanks for listening. This is the 14th episode. I'm Sean Fuller, as always. And find me on Twitter, at @awkward_podcast. Listen to the Horrible Gamers. That's my other podcast. Obviously, if you guys want to send a voicemail in, 510-600-3475. That's 510-600-3475. Send me an email and tell me anything you want. Tell me an awkward story. It'd be great. I'll see you guys next year if we don't have a podcast this coming up week. But I'm pretty sure I'll swing something in. I just want to thank these guys once again for bringing the force with them.